Entrepreneurs, small business owners, professionals who seek excellence, bringing the business classroom to you. It's the Business Builder Show. Here's Marty Wolf.
We still got a long way to go. Yes, we all got a long way to go.
Welcome to our show. I am Marty Wolf, your host for the Business Builder Show. Joining me is my sidekick, Mr. Kerry Carney. Hi, Kerry.
Hello, Marty.
And we have a wonderful substitution for our good friend, Tom Jenkins. D.C. Taylor is at the board today. Hi.
Stepping up to the plate.
Excellent.
D.C. in the house. Tom, I hope you're feeling better.
Thrilled you're here, D.C. Another member of our team, Dr. Tony Massari, will be offering his comments later in the show. Our show is for entrepreneurs, small business people, and professionals who seek excellence. We offer tips to help you build your business on the topics of technology, innovation, finance, leadership, personal development, and sales and marketing. We are working hard to earn your trust so we can be a valuable source of information to help you build your business and your career. Our special guest today is Louis Schiff, and that's C-H-I-F-F. I'm spelling it because you may want to Google it right now before we even start. Louis Schiff. Louis is the executive director of the Inc. Business Owners Council, and yes, that is the Inc. magazine, the Inc. Business Owners Council. And Louis wrote a book called Business Brilliant, subtitle, Surprising Lessons from the Greatest Self-Made Business Icons, How to Build Wealth and Manage Your Career and Take Risks. However, to set the stage for our interview with Louis, I'd like to look at an article from another member of Inc. Magazine's team, someone named Jeff Hayden. And, Kerry, that name may sound familiar because we refer to his information quite frequently.
Yes,
I like the way he writes. So another thing that he wrote, or a piece that Jeff wrote that connects nicely, I think, to Louis's interview is an article titled How the Rich Got Rich. That gets my attention. You know, I tend to pay attention to these things. This is really interesting. I got to read the first line. It says, like to emulate the success of others? If wealth is what you're after, look to an unconventional source for tips, the IRS.
Ooh.
What's that about? Oh, whoa, what could that possibly be about? Interesting, though. He says, if you do care about making money, and most of us do, if you just focus just on that, then that's not enough. But if making money, and that is often an important part of the scoreboard or way you measure success, correct? So he says there's information from the IRS that might give us some clues on how the rich got rich.
I could put that quote that Jeff mentioned, that was by John D. Rockefeller, America's first billionaire. And he said, if your only goal is to become rich, you will never achieve it.
If your only goal. So Jeff has a friend who is a CPA, and this friend sent this report, I guess, and it's from the IRS, and here's what it's called. 400 individual tax returns reporting the largest adjusted gross incomes. That's kind of heavy duty.
You know? Ours were not in there, Marty.
I was not on that list. DC, did you hit that list?
Almost. Not quite, though.
Close.
Very
well,
close.
Continue to listen to the show, and you may get there.
Excellent.
Okay.
We'll do.
400 individual tax returns reporting the largest adjusted gross incomes. Now, this report is from 2009. Now, for us in the world we live in, that's, you might as well say, decades ago. But for the IRS, 2009, quite frankly, is pretty current. So that is when this report is from. Now, I'm leading up to something. I know you're get to the meat, right?
Come on.
To the meat. But I got to set it up more.
All
so
right.
In 2009, it took $77.4 million in adjusted gross income to make the top 400. Now, that's a lot of money. However, that's down from $109.7 million in 2008 and significantly down from a record high of $138 million in 2007. So to get to the top 400, it took less. It only took $77 million. Real close, though, right, DC? Real close. Okay. Why are we talking about it on the Business Bullish Show? Because this is about how the rich got richer. Here are some bullet points. How the rich got richer. The top 400 made their money these ways. Wages and salaries. 8.6% came from wages and salaries. Interest. 6.6%. Dividends. 13% came from there. Partnerships and corporations, 19.9%. Final bullet point in terms of how the rich got rich. Capital gains, 45.8%. Now, in the studio here, I'll ask the question. You said you were real close, DC. Kerry, you're probably real close, too. Is paying capital gains taxes... For me, it's not a real big deal.
Sure. Never had that dilemma, Marty.
Never had that dilemma. So, you know, I thought maybe I would actually say what it is.
Please.
Okay. As the name implies, reading right from a financial tool here, as the name implies, capital gains are monetary gains acquired through the exchange of property, businesses, and financial instruments requiring capital. Examples of capital gains include money acquired through the sale of homes, corporate acquisition, stocks, and foreign exchange. Now, the clear thing there is that you have to acquire something and then sell it. See? We're getting this now? At a profit. And that's where your capital gains come in. Interesting so far, but what we really want to get to is, in terms of Jeff's article, are obvious conclusions. Number one, working for a salary won't make you rich. In Lewis's interview, he talks about security versus independence. Another conclusion from the article, neither will making only safe income investments. I think what he means by that is, you know, you buy an apartment house or someplace and you're maybe dividends. Neither will investing in only large companies. We have all heard of people who owned a huge stock but got killed in that. Here's another obvious conclusion, and the one that I really want to get to with all of this, is owning a business or businesses, whether in part or partnership, could not only build a solid wealth foundation, but could someday generate huge financial windfall. This show is for entrepreneurs and small business owners. So the obvious conclusion from this article, from all this and from all the charts and graphs from IRS, is owning a business or businesses, whether in part or a partnership, could not only build solid wealth foundation, but could someday generate a huge financial windfall. Last point. Clearly, getting rich in monetary terms is the result of investing in yourself and others, taking risks, doing a lot of small things right, and doing one big thing really, really right. And we talk about that often, Kerry, on the show, of focusing on what really matters, on doing what you're really good at.
Joe Calloway,
be the best at what matters most. Focus on the things that you're really good at, and if you need help with the other things, find the other help. I do not do accounting. I can't do accounting at all. Just can't figure it out. Kerry, great first segment. We need to wrap it up. We will be right back after this short message.
Bringing the business classroom to you. It's the Business Builders Show with Marty Wolf. Presenting the thought leaders of today. It's the Business Builders Show with Marty Wolf.
Welcome back to the Business Builders Show. Our special guest today is Lewis Schiff. Lewis, thanks for coming on to the Business Builders Show.
Thanks, Marty. Thanks for having me.
Allow me to introduce Lewis. Lewis Schiff is the executive director of Inc. Business Owners Council, a membership organization for Inc. Magazine's top entrepreneurs and owners of closely held family businesses, and maintains a blog about behavioral entrepreneurship on Inc.com. Lewis has co-authored two books, The Influence of Affluence, How the Rich Are Changing America, charts the rise of America's growing affluent middle class through original research and analysis. Another book, The Armchair Millionaire, describes a wealth creation system that leverages Nobel Prize winning methodologies. Lewis's new book, Business Brilliant, Surprising Lessons from the Greatest Self-Made Business Icons, which focuses on the wealth-creating behaviors and attitudes that work best in the new economy. And this was published by HarperCollins in March 2013. Lewis Schiff, again, welcome to the Business Builder Show.
Thank you, sir.
Lewis, I read the book, and I was impressed. And sometimes it maybe challenged me in terms of, you know, your analysis. But let's go back to the beginning, to the basics. Where did it come from? Why did you write this? And kind of tell our audience, where did it start?
Well, I have an interest in money that goes back to my earliest days in the working world. And it really, as I've thought about it over the years, it's crystallized down to this. I find it very interesting that there's this thing which is a scarce resource, meaning money. There's not enough money to go around.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be that way in order for, you know, there to have value in money.
Right.
And watching what people do when they want something very badly is fascinating to me. And money is more universal than, let's say, great athletes. We watch great athletes do amazing things in order to be first in their group. But when we watch people with money, it's just such a variety of possibilities. And so Business Brilliant, for me, goes back to conversations with people. One in particular stands out is a gentleman named Russ Prince, who have taught me about how people with money make money.
Mm-hmm.
And Russ is a coach to extremely wealthy people, famous people we all have heard of, but he can never tell you who their names are.
Mm-hmm.
And he spends all his days with these guys, and they need coaches, just like top athletes, you know. Top tennis stars, top golf pros, top football players all have coaches trying to make them incrementally better. And Russ Prince does that for the very wealthy in this country. And he and I have worked together, so we have these wonderful conversations about what does it take to get there. And that's what Business Brilliant is about. It's what it takes to get there.
You did determine some traits that actually lead to wealth creation. And again, I love the depth of your analysis, but you've said that there are actual traits. You and your Russ Allen Prince. Tell me about some traits that you actually, you'd create a survey, I understand.
Right. So Russ, among his qualities, is he's a researcher. So he and I conducted some original research based on what we both understood anecdotally, because we'd spent so many years with people like this. And with the people like this is really important, because I'm not talking about billionaires with their own jet airplanes.
That's important.
When I say people like this, I mean anyone who came from the middle class, which is almost all of us, and managed to accumulate levels of wealth that put them in, let's just say, the top 10% of America's households. So now I'm talking about people who have accumulated $1 million, $2 million, $3 million. And while that's a dream for a lot of people, there are 8 or 10 million families in America that have done it. So we're looking at a very large group of people. And the survey we conducted was really a survey of people who hadn't done anything with their from originating from the middle class, meaning that they started in the middle class and they stayed in the middle class. And then we took another survey group, which is people who started in the middle class but ended up in the top 10%. In some cases, we researched the top 1%. And we know they're starting from the same place. They're going to the same schools. They have the same kinds of parents. They have the same value systems. So what we're really looking for are the traits or the behaviors or the attitudes or the skills or talents that one group has that the other group doesn't.
And there lies the real study and the real analysis. Let me mention the book and the subtitle, because that's important. Business Brilliant, Surprising Lessons from the Greatest Self-Made Business Icons. And this is where you separate the quote-unquote, I'll call them like me, a mere mortal, middle class, and what the wealthier folks did differently. And again, come back to these traits. And one of the things you talked about, that even folks who are employed, sometimes they simply don't ask their boss for more money. That's something you discussed in the book. I really found that fascinating.
Right. When we get right down to it, and there's seven behaviors traits that we identify in the book.
Okay.
When we get down to it, virtually all seven of them are ones that any one of us could adopt. This is not, you know, it's hard to play in the NBA if you're shorter than 6 feet tall.
Yes.
But we're not talking about those kinds of things. Anybody can do these things. And so one of the things we identify is just the willingness, desire to ask for what you want. And you find in history over and over again that people who had great opportunity to have what they wanted didn't have the gumption, the stomach, the spine to ask for it. So there's a very, I want to say simple, I talk about dieting, right? Dieting simple, eat less food. That doesn't mean it's so easy to do. So it's simple to learn how to ask. So when you are in a situation where you're being offered a new job and the salary is X, it's simple to ask for 5% more.
Yes.
It's not easy to do it, and I understand why people have trouble with it. But what we start to learn are that the differences between those who have made it and those who haven't, just in this one example, this one trait, is they ask for what they want.
Yes.
And we find that when you ask for what you want, you may not get what you want, but you get a portion of what you want more often.
Yes.
And think about how that compounds, right? You're going to change jobs 2, 3, 5 times
right.
in your career. If you can eke out another 3% every single time you switch jobs, and then you stay in those jobs and it compounds with, you know, cost of living raises,
yes.
it becomes a seven-figure dollar number.
Big difference, big difference. You know, a lot of the financial folks today on TV, radio, they're talking a lot about, I guess it's, they look at it like possibility of creating wealth by saving more. And you kind of, you really challenge that.
Right. I think that there are two paths we have to take, and I'll tell you why one is really very challenging. Path number one is what I call financial security, which is being able to afford your lifestyle as long as it's modest. And path number two is financial independence. And this is the dream. This is what we're all sold, and this is the fantasy. And you have to decide which of those two paths. I think you can achieve financial security by saving your way to wealth. But there's no way you're going to achieve financial independence saving your way to wealth. The numbers never work out.
Right.
You're making $50,000 or $100,000 a year, and you're saving $5,000, $10,000, $15,000 a year, and it compounds at 5%, 10%. I mean, you just do the math. It never puts you anywhere other than keeping up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's nothing wrong with keeping up, right? But it's just you don't want to believe that you're headed down one path towards wealth when you're really headed down a path towards financial security. And the reality is, and we all know this, we see it anecdotally, it's kind of euphemistically called the top 1% and the 99%. But what we do know, what we are seeing, all the data tells us, is that the stratification between those who have figured out how to create wealth, I call them business brilliant,
mm-hmm.
and everyone else is becoming two groups, right? It's not middle class anymore. It's like you're either in the top 10% or you're in the bottom 90%. And the bottom 90% may choose the path of financial security, and I admire that path. But you know what? It's going to be harder and harder to attain financial security. So my call to everyone is some of us are going to have to decide, even if you want financial security, you'll probably have to start adopting the behaviors or the traits of the business brilliant to get even to financial security.
I absolutely agree, and I'm going to mention the book again, Business Brilliant, and we're speaking with Louis Schiff, and his name is spelled S-C-H-I-F-F. I highly suggest. And Louis, a big part of our audience is entrepreneurs and small business people, and so I know there's a connection between all that, and we're going to dig a little deeper into that, but we've got about 30 seconds left in this particular segment, but you talk about another example of how business brilliant folks behave differently than the rest of us. More than 70% of middle-class survey respondents said they believe that if you do what you love, the money will follow. And you challenged that a little bit. Now, we want to pick this up in the next segment, but let's start to talk about that. Follow
sure.
the money.
Well, now, here's where we need to start. We need to start with the fact that everything your parents told you about making money is wrong.
Okay. Okay.
And the conventional wisdom really leads you down some dead-end paths. And so the idea that you can do what you love and follow the money is not true. You have to do what you love and always, always look for ways to find money down that path.
And we're going to talk about following the money when we come back. We're speaking with Louis Schiff, author of Business Brilliant, and you're on the Business Builder Show with Marty Wolf. We'll be right back.
Bringing the business classroom to you. It's the Business Builder Show with Marty Wolf. Informing, educating, and encouraging. The Business Builder Show with Marty Wolf.
Welcome back to the Business Builder Show. Our special guest is Louis Schiff, and he wrote Business Brilliant. And when we left, we were talking about following the money. Give us a little more detail on that, and I think you have maybe a story you can share with us, Louis.
Sure. So one of my favorite stories about this is about an actor whose name is John O'Hurley, but you know him as Jay Peterman from Seinfeld, this kind of goofball entrepreneur who owns the famous Jay Peterman catalog. And the reason I wrote about an actor, and I also wrote about an artist in that chapter, and I wrote about Guy La Liberté, the founder of Cirque du Soleil.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote about people in the fine arts because folks like John O'Hurley, perfect example, they usually pursue the arts because it's a passion. And the question is, how do you make money doing that? Obviously, we know the number of people who are going to be at the top of the charts in Hollywood is very, very small.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a dozen. There were a dozen actors whose characters we all remember from Seinfeld because it was a hugely popular show.
Mm-hmm.
Virtually all of them have run away from those characters as fast as they could because Hollywood teaches you that you don't want to be typecast. But only John O'Hurley, the founder, the gentleman who played the founder of J. Peterman Catalog, turned that character into a cottage industry.
Mm.
What is the difference between this one actor and the dozen other actors? And the answer is, he did what he loved, but he followed the money. And that's a huge attitude shift, doing what you love, but following the money. Loving to cook, and therefore you open the restaurant. You know, what is it that you love to do but can turn into a business, as opposed to just hoping that if you just keep doing what you love, somehow, magically, the money will follow you?
I've read your book, and there are some things that challenged me. And so what I'm hoping is that some of these things I can learn. Or do I just have to have this special personality, Lewis?
Right, right. And that is the rubber meets the road, right? Because there's no point buying a $20 book if you can't, if you're just going to read about all these other people who can do things you can't do.
Right.
And so that's a huge part of it. Here's what I believe. While there's a lot of evidence that real wealth creation in America takes place through entrepreneurship, meaning business ownership, there's also a lot of evidence that you can change your behaviors even a little bit. We talked about it earlier. Just learning how to ask for more money during a negotiation for
right.
salary can change your wealth level by 10%.
Yep.
So, you know, I think that we can all be more entrepreneurial, even mm-hmm. if we don't want to actually be entrepreneurs. And the reality is you don't have a choice anymore. If you think that you can live your life, you know, same job, same firm, keep your head down, work hard, that's crazy. You have
yes.
to become an entrepreneur in the way you think about your career, even if you don't actually want to own businesses.
Yeah, you were going down the road. Yeah, basically, we all have to become free agents, no matter if we work for someone else or if, in fact, we're starting our own business, right? I mean, that's basically what it's coming down to, right? And let's talk about education. Do we need this unique personality? We can read your book, but does this mean that we shouldn't get a good education? Let's get some clarity on that.
Well, I have the great fortune of having the chance to speak to a lot of audiences that are entrepreneur students. You know, there's all these new programs around entrepreneurship in colleges now that didn't exist 10 years ago. So I'd say those programs are pretty great. The challenge with becoming extremely technically qualified at anything, biochemist or, you know, geologist, is two things. One, in order to succeed, you're probably going to have to remain extremely flexible about your skill set.
Mm-hmm.
And as you get older, you develop your skill set. You discover more about what you're really good at. And you need to find out how the marketplace wants that to appear. So the problem with the geologist or the biophysicist is they've already spent six figures becoming the biophysicist. When someone says, you know what, you'd be a great store owner or you'd be a great business person, they're committed already to this other field.
Mm-hmm.
So we see reduced flexibility the more time and money and identity, frankly, that you've committed to becoming, let's say, a lawyer or whatever it is. And so I think school is a challenge. I think the simplest way to look at this is I would rather hire a couple of really good biophysicists and start a life sciences company rather than become the biophysicist myself.
Mm.
Right? Because that's you have more power when you're the boss who's owning and you're the boss who's controlling the portfolio of talents than you are when you are the talent itself. I'd rather own the Yankees than be the Yankees star outfielder.
That makes plenty of sense to me. You said right at the beginning of this interview that you like the study of money and having money. I do, too. We're all nodding our heads in the studio. Yes, these are good lessons, you know, great lessons. And we've talked a little bit about this, but you used the word grit. And are Americans, are they in touch with these kinds of things that you're talking about, the decision-making skills they need to succeed? And you say that some people would call it grit. Go a little deeper into that. What do you mean?
Well, I don't want to, you know, this quickly veers off into I don't know, politics exactly, but just sort of how we see the world developing. But I do think that the middle class as a group has gone from a section of life in America that you strive to be in
mm-hmm.
into a section of America that is threatened with becoming something like an entitlement.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to see people who strive for whatever their next level of success is. We want to see them try. We know they're going to fail during the process, and we're okay with that. I mean, entrepreneurs embrace failure.
Yes.
That gets said a lot now, but I always point out this illustration. for most of us, the notion of failing in our careers or failing as we reach for the next level of success is a little like getting punched in the mouth.
Mm-hmm.
When you fail, it's embarrassing. It's shocking. You would not want to endure it if you didn't have to. But for our business brilliant folks that we surveyed, we find that they look at failure more like going to the dentist.
Mm.
You don't want to go to the dentist, but you know you have to every once
that's
in a
great.
While in order to stay healthy.
Yes.
So that's grit, right? Grit is, you know, how well do you go forth and take the shot and then get knocked down and then bounce back up? And whether it's taught to our school-age kids or whether it's taught in the corporate American workplace, you know, you have to learn to start developing these skills, and a lot of places don't want you to develop them. Corporate America doesn't want you to.
Mm-hmm.
Now I start to sound like I'm ranting, but corporate America doesn't want you to develop these skills because it doesn't suit them.
They want conformity. They want you to stay in lockstep. So I definitely want to talk about, you have a different viewpoint of network and networking. Talk to us about that and the folks who have seen more wealth or developed more wealth.
This is really valuable. First of all, anything your listeners can do, they can change the people they spend time with.
Mm-hmm.
That's very straightforward. So
mm-hmm.
spend time with more successful people and spend time with people who are more successful than you.
Mm-hmm.
To do that, A, you have to put yourself in a position of discomfort because we usually like to spend time with people who are kind of like us.
Mm-hmm.
B, go to your boss, go to people around you, write letters to powerful people and say, could you be my mentor? It's very accessible. People who are successful are looking for people to pop their head up and say, I want to learn from you. But the idea of what I call nodal networking is the idea that you don't want 5,000 Facebook friends. You want 5 really good relationships.
This is very important, Louis, very important.
So this is it. You need to have 5 people that you are connected to, that your success is their success is your success. And those people need to be doing the same thing. So 5 times 5, that's 25. 5 times 25 is 125. You can build a very big network just by having a handful of people in your life that you really commit to, and they really commit to you, and that their skill set is just what you need to be successful, and your skill set is just what they need to be successful.
Yes. That is very, very important. I hope everybody took notes on that. We have been speaking with Louis Schiff. His book is Business Brilliant, The Surprising Lessons from the Greatest Self-Made Business Icons. Louis, we've got about 20 seconds left in the show.
I think that everyone's got some big decisions to make. You know, when you want to, frankly, sell books, you tell the story of how this is going to teach you how to be rich. And that's true. For some people who read this book, they will actually end up much wealthier than they are. But for a lot of us, it's a much more fundamental decision. Do we want to pursue the path of financial security and independence, or do we want to roll the dice and see if we end up on the wrong side of the equation, where we end up with less money than we started out with when we're older?
There you go.
So I think we're going to have to put ourselves in some positions of discomfort in order to get to the next level of success.
Excellent. Business Brilliant is the book. Author Louis Schiff, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, sir.
Presenting the thought leaders of today. It's the Business Builders Show with Marty Wolf. Presenting the thought leaders of today. It's the Business Builders Show with Marty Wolf.
Hey, DC, let's go right to Dr. Tony Massari's commentary.
Hi, I'm Tony Massari with a thought about insight. Louis Schiff is interested in the behaviors that lead to success and wealth. These are a few of Schiff's discoveries about success and building wealth. Ask for what you want. It won't happen if you don't take the first step. Learn to negotiate. That's the best way to make things happen. You become like the people you hang out with. Associate with successful people. Don't define yourself by volume. 5 good relationships will be more productive than 5,000 Facebook fans. Find partners whose strengths compensate for your weaknesses. Imitate. Don't innovate. Find the pathfinders and follow their trail. Failure is often a gateway to success. Don't be afraid to fail. Loving what you do is not enough. You must be flexible. You must capitalize on opportunities, and you must follow the money. You can't do it alone. Find a mentor. Everyone needs a coach. We are what we value. There's a big difference between financial security and financial independence. The way I see it, Louis Schiff is one part poet. His work validates the words of Virgil. Fortune sides with him who dares. He is one part coach. John Wooden's dictum resonates with him. Failure is not fatal, but failure to change might be. He is one part philosopher. His research supports the wisdom of an adaptation of John Gardner's words. If you understand and respect successful people as they are, you are more likely to become as successful as they are. Put another way, Louis Schiff is brilliant when it comes to business success. For Marty Wolf and the Business Builder Show, I'm Tony Massari with America at its best.
Dr. Tony Massari, another great commentary. Carrie, I want to make sure that we share with folks how to get a hold of Louis Schiff and great interview. You can find him at www.business-brilliant.com. That's business-brilliant.com. That's how you get a hold of Louis Schiff. Something we didn't have time for, Carrie, and DC, who's with us today in the studio, subbing for Tom Jenkins. Thanks so far. You're doing really wonderful so far.
Hey, thank you.
You're keeping me in line and Carrie in line, too, which is really hard to do.
Very difficult.
Like very difficult kittens. To do. Louis's book is Business Brilliant, Surprising Lessons from the Greatest Self-Made Business Icons, How to Build Wealth, Manage Your Career, and Take Risks. Something we didn't get to that I want to cover. Let's see. This is page, actually, 194 in the book. He says, there are four broad areas of daily activity that successful self-made entrepreneurs undertake more effectively and consistently than most people. Lewis calls them the four, learning, earning, assistance, and persistence. Learning means that self-made millionaires expend more time and effort discovering what they do best and pursuing opportunities that relate to what they do best. That's learning. Earning means they take on projects and make deals that maximize the dollar potential for those opportunities while limiting their downside risks. That's under earning. I wanted to mention and highlighted limiting their downside risks. Next point, assistance from Louis Schiff's book, Business Brilliant. Assistance means that they actively cultivate networks of friends, associates, and partners so they can get help and advice on all the tasks beyond the bounds of what they do best. They get assistance when appropriate.
A mentor.
A mentor would be a great point. Last point in terms of four broad areas of daily activity that successful self-made entrepreneurs undertake more effectively. The last one is persistence. This means they take an authentic interest in their setbacks as important and necessary aspect of the success process. They fail fast, they fail often, and often they stay in the same line of business, which is contrary to a lot of people believe. They think that these successful people jump to another business. Most of them don't. If they fail in something, they stay in it. They take the hit and they hang in there. So, great, great book from Louis Schiff. I'm going to mention it again, Business Brilliant. We promised at the beginning of the show, Carrie, that we would talk about the single most important habit of successful entrepreneurs. And this comes from Dan Kennedy in his book, No BS, Time Management for Entrepreneurs. Now, that title of that book should kind of give you a clue to the way that Dan Kennedy looks at things.
He's a no BS guy.
He shoots straight from the hip. So that I want to be absolutely clear that I set this up right. So allow me to read this from Dan Kennedy. I'm sure there are exceptions somewhere, but so far in a 35-plus years of undertaking note of this, everybody I've met and gotten to know who devoutly adheres to this discipline becomes exceptionally successful. And everybody I've met and gotten to know who ignores this discipline fails. Is it possible that this one discipline alone is so powerful it literally determines success or failure? Carrie, what discipline are we talking about?
Mr. Kennedy is referencing the discipline of punctuality.
Holy moly, the single most important habit of successful entrepreneurs. Dan Kennedy says, those who live by this succeed, and those who don't live by this fail. That's pretty strong.
Being where you're supposed to be, when you're supposed to be there, as promised, without exception, without excuses, every time, all the time.
If you're not, Dan Kennedy says to us, if you're not punctual, you do not have any leverage in this discussion. You have no moral authority. You show up late, you lost a boatload of credibility.
Absolutely.
Have we seen that in our lives? DC, you experienced this?
Yeah, sure.
Somebody comes, you have a recording session set up, and they come 45 minutes late. Don't say it out loud. Don't give any names, DC. He's blushing. He's actually blushing. He wants to say something. But don't do it. This is recorded. And don't forget, this goes worldwide. We don't want to do that. Okay?
Okay.
You're smiling. Great. Okay. Pretty powerful. Dan Kennedy says, it's my conviction that a person who cannot keep appointments on time, cannot keep scheduled commitments, or cannot stick to a schedule, cannot be trusted in other ways either. This is a big trust deal. Makes sense to me. I mean, yeah. I look at it that way. It's a small thing, but it's a big thing. This happens to a lot of younger people, by the way, as a general rule. I don't want to slam. You know, mm-hmm. We love young entrepreneurs, Carrie, but I've seen this kind of a recurring theme. I'm not sure why. Maybe earlier in their careers, they don't see how important that is. So if you're younger, you're listening to the show, it's important. Here's something else Dan Kennedy says. I'm not the only person to have figured out this punctuality/integrity link. He says, I've stumbled on something that a whole lot of other smart, successful, and influential people already know and secretly use to make their determinations on who they will buy from or not buy from, or who they will do business with or not do business with. Another holy moly. Whether or not you're punctual, either on the phone or in person, a lot of smart people say, I will make a decision to do business with you or not based on that. Strong, Carrie.
Absolutely.
Really, really strong. So, this article is the single most important habit of successful entrepreneurs. Where did this come from? Entrepreneur Magazine by Dan Kennedy.
I'd like to wrap up with a quick comment he had.
Sure.
One of my earliest business mentors said that there were only two good reasons for being late for a meeting with him. One, you're dead. Two, you want to be.
I often say something of that version. If I'm not there, I'm probably dead. Great show. DC, thanks for your help. Carrie, thanks for your help. And for our great audience, thank you for being with us and being part of the Business Builder Show. We appreciate you taking time to be with us. Dr. Tony Massari, another great commentary. And again, I appreciate your efforts. Next week, our special guest will be one of my favorite people, Bob Berg. Bob has written several great books, including Endless Referrals, The Go-Giver, and his latest book is Adversaries into Allies, Win People Over Without Manipulation or Coercion. You can find all our shows, all the Business Builder shows, they are archived at businessbuildersglobal.com. If you want to see the books that we're talking about, go to the Book Recommendations tab under Business Builders Global. We do our best on the Business Builder Show, so you can do your best. We look forward to being with you next week on the Business Builder Show with Marty Wolf. Thanks for listening, and have a great week.
Bringing the business classroom to you, it's the Business Builder Show with Marty Wolf.